Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to you, dear listener. I don't know in which country you are at this moment and what the time is when you're listening to this. Maybe it may be morning, evening, afternoon, there by you, but greetings in the name of Jesus. Today is a blessed day for me. Because when I got up, I wanted to do my own thing. There were certain things that I wanted to view online, and there were certain things that I wanted to do. But God worked in me and called me to a place of prayer. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, it is God who's working in you to work according to his goodwill and good pleasure. So many times we want to do a good thing, but then God leads us to a God thing. Many times we have an idea and it's a good idea, but then God gives us another idea, a better idea, which is a God idea. Amen. So many times we have and want to pursue something that is good, but then God gives us something that is better. Amen. So this morning, God led me into prayer and into intercession for many people. And as I started to pray, when you pray, this is what happens when you pray. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow streams of living water. Now, that well is within each one of you who is a child of God. And as you open your mouth to pray, you are actually opening a tap, and then the water which speaks of the Holy Spirit bubble up, well up, gush up, and flow out of you. And it floods your soul, and it floods your being, and then you're full of the Holy Spirit. Then you're in the realm of the Spirit. And when you're in the Spirit, then you are attuned to God's wavelength, to His spiritual wavelength. And once you're attuned to His wavelength, then you can hear clearly and distinctly what you should do, where you should go, when you should go, and what you should say. Amen. So, that is what happens when you start praying. Praying is not difficult. There's a hymn writer that says, oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can turn the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Many people will say, I don't know how to pray. But did you know that a sigh is also a prayer? This is a sigh. That is a sigh. Many times people sigh because they're worried about something. Many times people sigh because they are burdened. I'm sure you read about the miracles that God performed when Israel was in captivity, in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. They were enslaved by the Egyptians, and it was hard labor. They were whipped. They had to work in the hot desert sun, and they were groaning and they were sighing. They went like this. Oh, I can't anymore. And those came before God. The Bible says God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Moses was walking in the desert. Moses first grew up as a prince in the palace of Pharaoh for 40 years, until the age of 40 years. He grew up as a prince. And then he killed a man and he had to flee to the desert. And there in the desert, he wandered for 40 years. He was 80 years old when he saw this bush burning. But the fire was not consuming the bush. And when he drew near He approached the bush. He heard a voice say to him, "Take off your shoes, because the ground you stand on is holy." And the voice said, God said, "I have heard the sighing of my people. I've heard the groanings. I've come here to send you to deliver them." So that great deliverance that was wrought through Moses, through him being the instrument, the channel, the conduit that God used, was an answer to a sigh. Not to a prayer with words, to a sigh. The people were groaning under the heavy burden of slavery. I can't anymore. Those came before God. So I want to tell you, if you say that you don't know how to pray, whenever you are burdened and you give a sigh, that is a prayer that's going up towards God, and He's going to answer that sigh of yours. You can read about that. It is confirmed in the book of Acts chapter 7. Read the book of Acts chapter 7. You will find a verse there that tells you where God said, "Come here, Moses. I've heard the sighs of my people." Some version may use a synonym and say, "I've heard the groanings of my people." Again, even a groan is not a prayer with words. So that's the first kind of prayer which anyone and everyone can pray, and pray automatically when they are burdened. The second kind of prayer is tears. Sometimes you are burdened, or you're in pain, or you're worried, and then your tears start to run down your cheeks. Tears is also a prayer, friend. The Bible says there was a king, his name, you can read about that in Isaiah chapter 37. The king's name was Hezekiah. And if you want to know more about this king, you can Google it. His name was Hezekiah. Hezekiah. King Hezekiah. But when you Google it, say King Hezekiah in the Bible. Because there are people on the earth today whose first name is also Hezekiah. So just add Hezekiah in the Bible, and then it will take you to his story. And that king, God sent a prophet to him to tell him, "Look here, you've got to set the house in order, gather your family and tell your family, give them the instructions what they ought to do after your death. But I'm coming to fetch you. I'm coming to take you home." In other words, you're going to die. And the Bible says, when the prophet left, he turned towards the wall. The king turned towards the wall, and he prayed to God, and he wept, and he cried. And as he prayed to God, and he wept, and he cried, and he shed tears, the word of the Lord came again to the prophet. Whilst the prophet was still on his way out of the palace grounds, and the Lord said to this prophet, "Turn around and go and tell Hezekiah that I've heard his prayers and I've seen his tears, and I'm going to add 15 years to his life." Can you see? God said, "I have seen your tears." So whatever tears you have been shedding, maybe over a child or a husband or a wife or a parent or a loved one or a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or sibling, sister or brother, whatever tears you've been shedding, praise the Lord. God saw your tears, and He's going to solve that problem, and He's going to supply that need. That's a second kind of prayer. First kind of prayer is a sigh, is a prayer. The second kind of tear is a prayer. But also, if you just look, when you have a problem and you're worried, and you just look up to God, even if you can't see Him, He is seeing you. You just look up to Him. You're saying, "Lord, I look to You to help me. I look to You to solve my problem. I'm looking to You to supply my need." That is also a prayer without words. The next kind of prayer is a prayer where you pray with words. When you pray, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, He says, When you come to God, you must believe that God exists and that He rewards them who diligently seek Him. You must believe that God is there. There is a God. And how can you know there is a God if you haven't seen Him? If you have a property and it's only you and your wife or only you and your mother living there, and one day you come into the backyard and you see footprints of a man there, big shoes, footprints, and that's not your footprints nor your mother's footprints. You will know there's been a man there, but you didn't see the man. You say, "Mom, there must have been a man here in the yard last night," because the mother says, "How do you know? Here's his footprints. Did you see the man?" "No, but here's his footprints. You can see a man has been here." My friend, if you look to the sun and to the moon and to the stars, and you look at the sea, the ocean, you look at the trees, the beautiful birds, the fish, the wonderful animals, and you look at when a newborn baby is born, just out of sperm and ova, a human being is born. Those are God's footprints. It is evidence there is a God. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament the work of His hands. One day uttereth speech to the other." You can see somebody must have created the trees. Somebody must have created the beautiful birds and the fish. Somebody must have created you. Amen. So, when you pray, just believe there is a God and that He rewards those who seek Him. The second way of praying is to ask for things in the name of Jesus. If you ask in the name of Jesus, God will do it for you. But 1 John 5 verse 14 says, "We know that He hears our prayers if we ask for anything according to His will." You must first make sure that it is God's will, that thing that you're asking for. Is it God's will? Or is it just something you want? Or is it something you need? Remember, sometimes we pray for wants, and sometimes we pray for needs. The Bible says, Paul said in Philippians 4:19, he said, "And my God will supply all your needs." Sometimes what you want is not something you really need. So make sure, look at what you want to pray for or what you are praying for. Is a want or need? So many times when God don't answer prayer, it doesn't mean there's no God. It doesn't mean that God don't care for you, don't want to help you. No, it doesn't mean that. Number one, it may not be the will of God, that thing that you are praying for. Number two, it may be that you have to wait, because I believe there's three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and wait. He will say no to something that's not His will. But He may say to another thing you're praying for, it may be His will, but it may not be the time. So you've got to be patient. David said somewhere in the Psalms, he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." The Bible speaks of patience. If you read in the book of James chapter 5, in the Christian Bible, there's a letter. It's actually a letter, but we call it a book. James, J-A-M-E-S, chapter 5. You read in chapter 5. It's not a long chapter. You will find it speaks there of the patience of Job. Job was a man, J-O-B, like we will say Job. God says in His words, you must learn from Job's patience. You must be patient when you ask for something. Because not every prayer is answered immediately. And not every prayer is answered in the way that you want it to be prayed. So be patient. After you've prayed, wait patiently for the Lord. But the way to approach God is according to Psalm 100 verse 4. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise." So in other words, When you go to God, just don't ask God for things immediately. Just look back over your life of the good things God has done for you, how He protected you, how He gave you life, how you saved your life once you were almost killed in an accident, how you were almost robbed, or they robbed you but they didn't kill you, or you were in an accident but it didn't maim you, you're not crippled, you're not sitting in a wheelchair, or something, there was an explosion at work in the factory but it didn't blind you. There are many things to give thanks to for God. So when you go to God, first give Him thanks. Say thank you for this, that, and the other. The next thing you do is praise Him. Praise Him for what is done for you, what is given to you. And now He's been good to you. Praise Him for His wonderful works and praise Him and say, oh, wow, Lord, the water. I praise you for the water which gives life, which is a system of transportation for the lumberjacks, the water which is a coolant, the water which is an architect which shapes the mountains, the water which nourishes the food we eat, we live off of this water, which causes the fruit and vegetables to grow. I praise you. And then, of course, you must worship God. There's a difference between praise and worship. You praise God for things, but you worship Him for who He is. You worship Him for the person He is. You worship Him for His character. And say, wow, you are strong. You are mighty. You are powerful. You are all-knowing. So after you've entered, when you go into prayer, after you've given thanks and praise, and then you give worship to God, then you can make your request known. Then you tell God what you need. There's a song that says, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. So you tell God what you want. You say to God, Lord, I need a job. Please provide me with a world-class job. Let it be in a wonderful area where I can travel safe. Let it be amongst people that celebrate me, Lord. Let that job have wonderful perks, maybe a pension fund, maybe a medical fund, maybe some benefits, a bonus, or maybe car allowance or phone allowance. You can ask that for God. He will give it to you. But if you don't get it, the Bible says, be thankful in everything. Even if you get a job and it doesn't have all those perks and all those benefits, just say thank you. Be grateful. And if God sees that you're thankful for the small, He'll give you big things. If He sees that you're thankful for the little things, He'll give you much. So after you've prayed for the job or whatever you've prayed for, maybe for a car, maybe for a home, maybe for a husband, for a wife, maybe for healing, maybe for a way to travel to your families overseas or a family who's living far away, maybe for money to extend your house, to build on, to renovate your place, or maybe money for a phone or for clothing or food or whatever. It can be anything. After you have asked God for that, just say, thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me this job. Thank you for the job you're going to get. Thank God ahead of time. Thank Him in anticipation. Because if you believe that what you ask Him for, He's going to do it, then you already thank Him for it. Even before you see it, even before you receive it. That is faith. Thanks, to give someone thanks ahead of time. If you ask someone, you hire a lady and say, will you clean my whole house for me and wash the windows and turn out and turn the mattress around and air the bedding and all of that? And will you move this stuff around for me, please, and sort out my cupboards? And the lady says, yes, I will do it. Now you're on your way to work. What are you going to do? You're going to say to that lady, thank you for what you're going to do. But the lady didn't do it yet. But you're already saying, thank you for what you are going to do. Thank you for your help. But she didn't help yet. She didn't do it yet. But you believe she's going to do it. So likewise, when you pray, you must believe that God's going to do it. So thank Him already and say, Thank you, Lord, for the job you're going to give me. Thank you for the monies you're going to provide. Thank you that you're going to heal my body. Thank you that you're going to help us to extend our home. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide me with a tuition freeze. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a way for me to visit my family in Italy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. After you've given thanks, then you make a declaration. Then you say, I'm going to have a world-class job. Or, I'm going to go overseas. God's going to make a way for me. I'm going to be healed. You say that. You make that declaration. Because Mark 11, 23, 24 says, if you do not doubt, but believe what you say, you shall have what you have said. Now you may be thinking, you're saying, brother, you're speaking all those wonderful things. Your message sounds good and exciting, and it sounds very, very okay. But brother, you may ask me in your mind, brother, did you do this? Did you experience this already? Then I will say, yes, I did. I remember I wanted to lose weight. And I met the pastor and his wife who would, every morning they would take a walk, more than 11 kilometers. But they would walk up to a mountain. And then because the village was right close by the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, and they would walk up there and back home. And I asked them, can I also walk with you so that I can lose weight too? They said, yes. So the first and second day we walked, we just spoke about ordinary things, because we were ordinary people, which we call normally small talk. We had small talk about this, that, and the other. Then the Lord said to me one day, he said to me, turn this walk into a prayer walk. Instead of walking and having small talk, instead of walking and talking about ordinary things, why don't you pray whilst you are walking? And I asked them, and they said, okay, we can do that. And so God gave me an algorithm. God gave me steps to take. God showed me a way we can do this thing, this prayer walk. And I said to them, look, the Lord showed me Psalm 100. Let's use Psalm 100, verse 4 as our algorithm. The first day, let's just give thanks to the Lord. It's an hour and a quarter, the walk. I said, for this hour and a quarter, we just give thanks to the Lord. We thank Him for our health, through our eyes, the ability to see and hear with our fingers, our healthy hearts and our livers and everything, our safety, for our homes, for our cars, for our jobs, for our families, for our friends, for the safety in our country, and for many things and anything. And thank God for the people in our land. Thank God for our government. Thank you for the civics, the structure. Thank you for the storm water that is being channeled away, for the good roads, for the sanitation, everything. Let's give thanks to God. We start, and thank God for our friends and family, for the church, for the Bible. My apologies. There was an interference now, but we will call it a gentle interference. The Bible says we must think that which is good before all men. So if someone interrupts you, if there's an interruption, you mustn't take umbrage. You mustn't take offense. You must say, say if someone cut in front of you whilst you're driving and you almost rammed into them, don't show them the middle finger. Don't swear at them. Don't get angry at them. Just say, this is interesting. Because you are going down, the way you react, don't overreact. Don't respond negatively. Be noble. Be dignified. Because the people around you are watching and listening. And one day they may have to recommend you, or maybe they have to give you a testimonial of you, a character reference, and then they say, they can't say anything good about you. They say, oh, this brother or this sister get angry very quickly. They also show the middle finger to the other driver. Just say, this is interesting. Or if someone interrupt or interfere, say, this is a gentle interference. The Bible says everything works out for the good, because every bad thing that happens to you, it's actually a test. So if you prove that you're a person of integrity and have character, God may promote you, take you to a higher level. Because as you change, so your circumstances will change. You will find that the change in other people oftentimes is due to the change in ourselves. But let's get back to the prayer walk. So what happened is, the first day we started to give thanks for anything and everything and everyone. The next day we just praise God for what is done for us and for mankind and for our families and communities and our church and our business. The third day we worship God for who He is, how powerful He is, how wise He is, how all-knowing. We were thinking about His wisdom and how He distanced the sun from the earth. If the sun was too close, we would scorch to death. If the sun was too far away, we would freeze to death. We thought of His creation and said, you're wonderful. You are wise. We thought of the elephant and his trunk, how articulate he is with his trunk, almost like what he can pick up an apple and eat it. He can suck up water and shower himself with that. He can pull out a tree with that trunk. He can do that trunk is like a hand to him, or like hands. But God designed him. We were thinking of the horse's hoof, how articulate it was and how thin that hoof is. But it carries a weight of sometimes up to 1,000 pounds. And it runs and it jumps and lands on that small foot, that small hoof. But it doesn't break. And it propels that 1,000 pounds forward with tremendous speed. Wow. The Bible says, the one who designed the house must get more glory than the house itself. So God is the great designer who designed the horse with his strength. And so many things, if you look at creation, what God did, how God created the beautiful flowers, gave them a fragrance, and the beautiful fish, and the different kind of metals and minerals and so many things, and water, and how the clouds can hold that water up there. But when that water comes down, it can create a flood that demolish our homes, that kill people. How can that, oh my word. So God is amazing. So during that time of worship, think of how wonderful and how powerful and how wise God is. You don't have to look far. Just think of your bodily systems. The flow of your blood in you, the way you breathe, and how God built you, filters inside of you. When you breathe in something, the air may be toxic, but your lungs will filter it out. First, the nose in your ear. How God created you, your homeostasis to sustain and maintain your body temperature. How God designed you when you get cold, your pores seal up. And you say it's goosebumps. It's actually God designing so that the pores seal up so you don't lose more heat. When it's cold, when it's very cold, you start shivering. You're not shivering because you're cold. It's your body creating heat. As you shiver, you're generating heat to keep you warm. And when you're very hot, you start to sweat. That's a coolant to cool off your body. You're not sweating because you're hot. You're sweating because God designed you so that you can cool off your body. You know, it's amazing. So we started the first day to give thanks. The second day to praise God. The third day to worship Him. And the fourth day, we petition our requests. We ask God for what we wanted. And what we needed, we made our request known on the fourth day. When you pray, you don't have to spread your prayer out over 3, 4, 5 days. No, you follow those steps, all those 5 steps, in 1 minute, in 2 minutes when you pray, right there. You start your prayer. Within 1 minute or so, or within 5 minutes, you start your prayer, giving thanks, then praising God, then worshiping Him, and then petitioning your request, make prayer requests, making your request known unto God. That's found in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Let your desires be made known unto God. Verse 6, I think it says, be anxious over nothing. It means be worried about nothing, but with supplication and prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. So, within 5 minutes, you can do those steps which we spread over 5 days. You can apply those steps in the morning, in the evening, whenever you're praying. Start first by giving thanks, then praising God, then worshiping, then making known your request. But this point is very important. After you've done those steps, the step of thanksgiving, praise, worship, and making your request known, make your declaration. Job 22:21 says, you shall declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established. Praise the Lord. So we took those steps first. We thank God, then we praise Him, then we worship Him. Then we made our request known, and then on the fifth day, we made our declaration. The pastor was walking with me. He said he wanted a quantum because he was transporting school children, but he was using vehicles that was 20, 25, 30 years old. And every second week he had to lie underneath the van to fix it because something broke again. It was really a hassle. And he needed a reliable new transport. And he said, he made his declaration. He said, I'm going to have a quantum and I'm going to get a new one without a deposit. And it happened. Right now, as I'm speaking here, he's driving that quantum because he believed, according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, and he didn't doubt. He believed that what he said, it will be as he has said. That's what Mark 11, 23 says in the King James Version. If you do not doubt, but believe what you say, you shall have what you have said. Not prayed, what you have said. It's important that after you've prayed, that you must say. Because many people pray, and then they say negative things. Then they say, who's going to give me a job? Where am I going to get a job? I'm already old. Who's going to help me, give me the money to extend my house? Who's going to give me the money? How am I going to get the money to go overseas? No, that's not the voice of faith. That's a voice of doubt and unbelief. Faith says God is able. Because unto God belong the gold and the silver. Unto God belong the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is able. The thing that seemed impossible to you and me is possible with God. God will supply all you need. So that's Him. He said it with His mouth. He started with thanksgiving, praise, worship, and then a request. And then He said it with His mouth. He's going to have a quantum, and He has it right now. Now, what about me? I'm sure you thought in the beginning, I'm speaking so well about prayer, but did it work for me? You may say, brother, did it work for you? Yes, it worked for me. Because when he said he's going to have a quantum, I said, brother, I am going to America. Now, the time I said those words, I did not know anyone in America. I knew no one in America. Nobody promised me anything about taking me to America or inviting me to America. There was no such thing. Nada. Yet, there was no such thing. I knew no one in America. No one invited me to America. And I didn't have the money to go to America. So I said with my mouth, according to Mark 11, 23, 24, I said, Pastor, I am going to America. I'm not going to pay 1 rand or 1 cent to go to America. I'm going to live on the highest level, and I'm going to have a bank account in America. Koraba shiki bihinta barasuko mahanto, shakorobo honto baseke, saki bahanta karamahanto, mari koraba taraba shika mahanti. Praise the Lord. I said those words without doubting, but believing that what I'm saying, it will be as I have said. Faith, you must have faith. Now you're going to say, but brother, you got faith, I don't. You do have faith. Each one was born with a degree of faith. And that faith of yours, no matter how small it is enough to move a mountain. Amen. Your faith, you have faith. Because if they tell you, if you buy a new TV or device or phone, they say, do this, do that, you follow the instructions, and it does that. If they advertise something and they say, this product will do that and take out those stains, you believe it and then you go and buy it. Because that's faith. That's an act of faith. If it says on the bus, it will take you to your destination, maybe to Washington, wherever you're living. Maybe you're living in the next state. Maybe you're living in a German town. And they say this bus will take you to Washington, D.C. And they say it, you believe it, and you get on the bus because you wanted to go to Washington, D.C. That's an act of faith when you get in. So you have got the faith, brother. Sister, you've got the faith. Pastor, evangelist, whoever's listening, young man, young woman, you have got the faith. You have a degree of faith. And that faith which you have is enough to get you whatever you need. Whatever you believe, you can have. As you believe, so shall it be. You believe it, you receive it. You doubt it, you go without it. You confess it, and you possess it. Amen. So, I said with my mouth, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm giving you a testimony today. I'm a living witness that the Bible is true. The Bible, you can stake your life on the Bible. Many things in the Bible that came true for me, I can bear testimony to that. Mark 11, 23, 24, it happened in my life. If you do not doubt but believe what you say, you will have what you have said. Not prayed. I do pray, but after my pray, I say. Now, many people also pray, but after they pray, they say negative things. They say, it's not going to happen. Who's going to do it? How am I going to get it? So the moment you say those negative things, you negate your good prayer. You cancel out your wonderful prayer that you prayed. You prayed in faith. You prayed the right. Your prayer was right. But the moment you say negative things, who's going to, how can I get healed? How am I going to get the money? Where am I going to get a job? I'm already over 50. Young people don't even get a job. You are canceling your good prayer, my friend. Stop speaking negative things after you prayed. Say in line with your pray. I'm just using that to rhyme. I know it's not proper grammar to say in line with your pray. It should be say in line with your prayer. But I just wanted it to rhyme. Say in line with your pray. Say and pray. Okay. So, did I experience it? So, after I made my declaration, I said, Pastor, I'm going to America. I'm not going to pay 1 rand. I'm going to live on the highest level. And I'm going to have a bank account there. That's the words I spoke and I uttered. It wasn't long when one day when I went to a restaurant to wait for my friends. We're going to have breakfast. Whilst I'm waiting, I'm checking my email on my laptop. As I check my email, I see here's an invitation from Washington to me. It said, we are inviting you to our summer conference in Washington, D.C. Here's a letter. We will fund your transport fees. We will accommodate you. Here's the letter you must take to the American Embassy to apply for a visa. And the application letter, I downloaded it and took it to the embassy. Now, on my way to the embassy, I again acted in faith. I said, I'm going to the American embassy to apply for a visa, and God's going to do beyond what I can think or pray. That's what I said. Then I said, I'm going through this application like a hot knife through butter. It means there's going to be no hassles, no pain. So I went with this faith and with this confession. You got to say it. Saying is God's modus operandi. When God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, the Bible says the earth was dark and void. It was just a dark, void mass. And God said, let there be light. He said, he didn't pray. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be vegetation, and there was vegetation. Whatever he said, it happened. And he said to us, but you're saying you're not God, we're not God. But he gave us that power. In Mark 11, verse 23, Jesus himself said, not an apostle Paul or Peter or somebody else. Jesus himself said, if you do not doubt, but believe what you say, you shall have what you have said. You shall have what you have said. Say. He didn't say you shall have what you have prayed. Yes, you do get what you have prayed, but what your prayer, it must be in tandem with saying. It must be linked to your saying. Your saying must correlate with your praying. So that's God's modus. So you are his child. You'd also have that power and that authority to say a thing and it will happen. It will be as you have said. Job 22, 21. You shall declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established. You shall declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established. If there was another interference, my apologies to you. But that was a gentle interference, and everything works out for the good. I'm not taking umbrage. I'm not taking offense. I've learned that I must just think good. The Bible says, think that which is good before all men. I must just think good. If someone is angry at me, I will just say, maybe he's having a bad day. If someone accused me falsely, I will just say everything works out for the good. Because the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, rejoice in tribulation. Rejoice in the hope. Rejoice and count it sheer joy when people speak all my kinds of evil against you. That's in Matthew chapter 5. If people persecute you, falsely accuse you, blame you, even hit you for being a Christian, throw you in prison. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad because they did the same things to the prophets of old. Rejoice in the hope. Rejoice in tribulation. Even when you are facing temptation, people tempt you or taunt you, or you can become agitated because you are tempted. James chapter 1 from verse 2 to 5, it says, count it sheer joy when you fall into diverse kind of temptations, because the testing of your faith works patience, bring patience. James 1 verse 12 says, at the bottom it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has passed the test, he will receive the crown of righteousness or crown of life. You see, it's actually saying that whenever you are tempted, you are actually being tested. Here in South Africa, they talk about a matric exam. And if you don't pass that matric exam, you cannot go to university. You cannot go to what the Americans call college. You see, so they will cry if they cannot do that exam, the matric exam. The children will cry. They'll be so disappointed. But an exam is a test. But you and I, or not me, but you maybe, when you are tempted, you become upset. You become angry. From now on, welcome every temptation, but do not succumb to temptation. The hymn said, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. So if you resist temptation, then you can encourage somebody else and say, brother, they may complain about the temptations. They say, I was tempted by this woman, or I was tempted by this man, or I was tempted to do drugs with my friends, or I was tempted to steal, to go and rob a bank, or I was tempted to do something evil, to spite somebody or go and hit somebody. And these friends tempted me and taunted me, and it was not a good feeling I had, because if I say no, then they're going to be against me. They're going to hate me and mock me and say, yes, you are a boring or whatever. You're a dat, you're a grak, you're a noata. They may call me many names. So I don't like being tempted. But temptation is a test. So if you resist the bad and you say no, you have passed the test. It means you can encourage somebody else who's agitated when they are tempted and say, brother, I too was tempted in that way, but I resisted it. And then God will promote you. It brings patience in you. If you pass the test, James 1 verse 12, it says you will receive the crown of life. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 12. It's after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament of the Christian Bible. If you don't have a Christian Bible, you can Google James 1 verse 12. James. Chapter 1 verse 12. And you can read all about it. You see. So, right. I'm on my way to the embassy. So what mind did I have when I was on my way to the embassy? On my way to the embassy. I'm repeating this now. I'm saying I'm going to go through this application like a hot knife through butter. On my way to the embassy, I am saying God's going to do beyond what I can think or pray, exceeding abundantly. I keep on saying those words. That is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians, it's a letter in the New Testament Bible. Ephesians. If you're not a Christian and you don't have a Bible and you want to read that yourself, you can look it up, Google it, Ephesians 3 verse 20, Ephesians 3 verse 20. And there Paul says, unto him, unto God, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can think or pray. So I believe whenever I pray, even when I came from the embassy, we went to have lunch in a restaurant there, and there was a pastor sitting with a group of pastors. They were also having breakfast, and I knew the pastor only, and I greeted him, and he introduced me to the other pastors, and as I greeted, I said, Pastor, can I say a word to these pastors? He said, yes. I said, pastors, whatever you ask God for, he's not going to give it to you. They were shocked. They were stunned. I said, yes, God is never going to give you what you're asking for. He's going to give you more. You see, my friend, whatever you're going to ask God for, he's not going to give you that. He's going to give you much more. Amen. He's going to give you exceeding abundantly beyond what you can think or pray. That's how God works. He's got a big heart. He is love. He will give you abundantly. He won't give you, you ask for a small amount, he'll give you a big amount. You ask for small things, he'll give you big things. You ask for a job, he'll give you a position. You ask for prosperity, he'll give you wealth. You see, that's our God. So when I went to the embassy to apply for my visa, I said, I'm going to go through this application like a hot knife through butter. And God's going to do beyond what I can think or pray, what I thought or prayed, exceeding abundantly. So when I went for the visa interview, I was interviewed by different people. The embassy was laid out almost, it was like a bank with the different desks and with windows. Well, that's what it was like here in South Africa in this embassy. It was not actually an embassy. It was a consulate. And then after the first person, next when I came to the last person, they said, you must go to that window. And I went there, and the person said, congratulations, your visa has been granted. Your visa has been granted for 10 years. Wow, wow, wow. What a miracle working God. I went through that like a hot knife through butter, and God did beyond what I can think or pray. I know of people who applied for a visa, and some just got it for 3 months. Some just got it for a year. And some people, I know of powerful, influential, professional people who applied for a visa. They were pursuing the visa for 5 years, but their applications were declined. So what was the difference between me and them? I was no better than them. I was no higher than them. But the difference was between me and them, I did not doubt, but I believe that what I said, I will have what I have said, according to Mark 11, verse 23, 24. So you too, dear listener, can have what you have said, but you must say it. Don't spray it. Say it. Do not doubt, but believe what you say. Do not doubt. So I went to America without paying one rand. I lived in a mansion. It's a pity I can't show you the photos. I lived on a very high level. The property was about 16 acres. You drive up to the mansion like on a winding road. And eventually, before I left, I had a bank account there. I deposited money there. I opened in a bank account with the monies, the dollars I got in America. I even bought myself an iPad at the Apple store. I've still got the iPad. Friend. And I said, God's going to do beyond what I can think or pray. I was actually invited to become a pastor in that place. They offered me a position as a pastor. That means I would have a house and a car in America. But I declined that offer because I've got 3 projects running in South Africa. And I did not want to abandon my people in South Africa. That's why I didn't take that offer. I cannot betray my people, turn my back on projects that I started. If you start something, finish it. Amen. Do not drop your people for prestige and for fame and for position overseas. If you know your people really need you, you can delegate if you know that there's someone else who can do the same thing that you can do. But if you know and they say there's no one else, then you just stick to your task and your assignment, your projects. God will reward you. He has rewarded me. I didn't lose anything. So, my friend, dear listener, I've shared with you something very personal. Do you know the good news? I was invited 2 more times to America, all expenses paid. 2 more times. We serve a miracle working God. God is real. There are many people who say the Bible is not real, you can't believe the Bible. Many will say there's no God. But you will find out that the people who say there's no God, they are the people who commit suicide. Even they professionals or famous, because they got no hope. I'm not judging them. They got no hope. You must look at the end of these people when they die. These people who say there's no God and the Bible isn't true. Speak to people who knew them. Read about them, you will see. There is a God. And the Bible is real. I've experienced that. They say a man with an experience will never be at the mercy of a man with an argument. People can argue with me about the theory of the Bible and theology and the reality of the Bible and this, that, and the other. But they cannot argue against my experience. I experience that those words that are written in the Bible is real. It is true. It happened to me. It happened for me. It worked for me. And is still working for me. So may the Lord bless you. The intent of this podcast was not really to speak so much about prayer and about making that declaration. So I'd like to close with a prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord solve all your problems, supply all your needs, and calm every storm in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. What a day to be alive. In our business meeting at church, I spoke about gentleness, the way we deal with people. We cannot deal with people harshly. If you deal with people in a harsh manner, you provoke them. You provoke them to anger, and it leads to conflict. And if you together in a church or in a group or in a team, it can lead to division. And the Bible says a house that's divided cannot stand. And the other morning, the Lord dropped into my spirit and He said to me, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Wow. I said, "Wow, Lord, I spoke about meekness and gentleness." And the Lord said, "Yes, there's an inheritance for people who are meek and who are gentle. There's a reward for them." And I remember that David said in Psalm 18, he said, "Thy gentleness has made me great." So when we deal with people, people who don't work with the team, or people who are rebellious, like maybe your children, maybe your family, maybe the members in your church or in your group, your organization, and you deal with them with anger. Like we say, the heat wave says, you can be wrong in the way that you are right. In other words, the person is wrong in his actions, but you are right. But the way you speak to that person may be wrong, because you're speaking, you are right in addressing the situation or in speaking to the person. You are right there, but you are wrong when you do it in anger. That's why the Bible even says, speak the truth in love. But many people speak the truth in anger. They say, "Yeah, you this and that," but they do it in an angry spirit, which doesn't work well, and it doesn't sit well with people. It won't bring unity and harmony. It will just drive that person further away from you or your organization or from your church. So David said, "Thy gentleness has made me great." So here's two words here, meekness and gentleness. Jesus said, in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28 and 29, He says, "Learn from me, for I am meek of heart and gentle of spirit." He's mentioning those two words there of His characteristics. We must be like Jesus. We're not God, but these are traits that we can adopt, and we can ask God to implant it in us. It can be manifested in and through us. In fact, if you're a child of God, it means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, if you read Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22, 23, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. So if you're filled with the Spirit, you should have the fruit of gentleness in your life. So remember now, Jesus said, "Learn from me, I'm meek of spirit and gentle." He used those two words. So what's the difference between? Why does He use two words? What is the difference between? Why not use the one word meek only, or the one word gentle? Is there a difference between the two words, gentle and meekness? Yes. Because gentleness has to do with action, the way you deal with people. That's why David said, "Thy gentleness has made me great." It means the way God dealt with David when he went into error. when he missed the mark, when he sinned, the way God dealt with him made David great. So when you deal with people when they've gone into error or made mistakes or been rebellious, do it in a spirit of gentleness and let your words be sprinkled with salt. What does it mean for your words to be sprinkled with salt? You must understand what are the effects of salt. The effect of salt is salt does not give flavor to the food. Salt brings out the best in the food. Salt brings out the inherent flavors that's in there. So if your words are sprinkled with salt, it means your words will bring out the best in people. But if your words aren't sprinkled with salt when you speak to people, you bring out the worst in them. They are starting to swear. They are starting to curse. They are starting to argue. But if your words are sprinkled with salt, then you bring out the best in people. Praise the Lord. And what does salt do? Salt melts the hardness. You can take salt, take a block of ice now out of your fridge and put salt on it. You will see it start to melt. Salt, but ice is very hard. Remember, it was ice that broke the Titanic. But that hardness gets melted by salt. So if your words are sprinkled with salt, no matter how hard the person is you're speaking to or the people, if you do it with a spirit of gentleness and meekness, you will see that the hardness in their heart melts. That's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, let your words always be savored or sprinkled with salt. And he also said, you are the salt. That's in Matthew chapter 6. He says, you are the salt and you're the light. So we are the salt. When people meet us, no matter how hard they are, just by meeting us, the hardness in them must melt. Just by meeting us or seeing us, the best must well up within them. The best must be evoked in them. The best thoughts must come to their mind when they see us or meet us. That is the salt. What does salt do? Salt creates a thirst. It means when people see us, our lifestyle, they must become thirsty for God to also serve God and know God and read the Bible. What does salt do? Salt preserves. So through our lives and our prayers and our words, we must preserve lives that they don't commit suicide. We must preserve marriages that it doesn't crumble. We must preserve other believers that they don't backslide. But let's get back to the topic of gentleness and meekness. So gentleness has to do with action, but meekness has to do with an attitude of mind and heart. Amen. Well, a demonstration of meekness. The Bible says when they were mocking Jesus, they were hitting him. They were pulling out his beard. They were really torturing him. But the Bible says he did not open his mouth. And he opened not his mouth. What do you do when people falsely accuse you or persecute you or do all evil against you? Do you curse them? Do you say, you will see what's going to happen to you? Do you threaten them? Or are you like Jesus, meek? Because the Bible says meekness is likened to a sheep. If you take a sheep, you can cut off his, as you cut off his neck, he doesn't make a sound. So may the Lord bless you. Just remember, strive to be meek and strive to be gentle. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. If you want your church people to be great, if you want your team to be great, if you want your family to be great, if you want your husband or your wife or your children to be great, don't speak to them in anger. Speak to them in love. The Bible says speak the truth in love and do it with an attitude of gentleness and meekness. The Lord bless you and keep you. So just remember also in the morning, wake up, then get up, Then pray up. Then freshen up. Then dress up. Then mask up. And then show up. And then glow up. And never ever give up. The Lord bless you. May the rest of your life be the best of your life. The heat is on. Amen.